a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Okay, let's go. Good morning. The South Dakota Senate will now come to order. Welcome back, everyone. And leading us in our prayer today is Reverend Mercy Hobbs of the Peer for Peer Ministerial Association. And our pages leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag are Elizabeth Stroman of Peer and Olivia Siglin from Webster.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are the fountain in all wisdom, whose will is good and gracious, and whose law is truth. We ask you to guide and bless our senators and our governor and lieutenant governor, as well as all those who are gathered here today in this room, that they may enact laws that will please you. May justice prevail, providing for the needs of the people they serve. May we always be instruments of your peace. This we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Adelstein, Bogalka, Bradford, Brown, Buell, Cutler, Frerich, Frisley, Garnos, Gray, Hansen, Haverly, Heineman, Holeen, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Johnston, Krauss, Krebs, Lederman, Maher, Nelson, Norstrup, Nygaard, Olson, Peters, Putnam, Rampelberg, Rave, Roden, Schleckway, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Valley. There is a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 37th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Communications, please.
March 17, 2011, the Honorable Matt Michaels. Dear Mr. President, members of the Senate, I respectfully return to you Senate Bill 57 with my veto. Because Senate Bill 86 has passed, Senate Bill 57 is no longer necessary. I respectfully ask you to sustain my veto. Respectfully submitted, Dennis Dugard, Governor. Also, Mr. President, March 17, 2011, the Honorable Matt Michaels. Dear Mr. President and members of the Senate, I hereby return Senate Bill 202 with the following recommendations as to style and form. I respectfully request that you concur with my recommendations as to style and form. Respectfully submitted, Dugard, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Hello. Reports of select committees, please.
Mr. President, your joint select committee appointed to consider the matter of adjournment sine die of the 86th legislative session respectfully reports that the Senate and the House of Representatives adjourn at the appointed hour. Respectfully, Val Rausch, David Luss, Bernie Hunhoff, House Committee, Craig Teason, Chantel Krebs, and James Hunstead, Senate Committee. Also, Mr. President, your Joint Select Committee appointed to wait upon His Excellency the Governor to inform him that the legislature has completed its labors and is ready to adjourn sine die and to ascertain if he has any further communications to make to the legislature. Respectfully reports that it has performed the duty assigned to it and has been informed by His Excellency the Governor that he will not appear for the closing of the 86th legislative session. Respectfully submitted, Val Rausch, David Lust, Bernie Hunhoff, House Committee, Russell Olson, Corey Brown, Jason Frerich, Senate Committee. Senator Olson moves that the Senate do now recess until 10:30 a.m.
Before we vote on the recess motion, Senator Bogalka.
Thank you, sir. Personal privilege, please.
Granted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to introduce some special guests I have here today. Up in the balcony, my wife, Rhonda, she's up there in the pink. I'd like to thank her for taking care of our five kids while I've been gone and keeping the house going and taking care of the animals and her full-time job and all that. Our two older kids are home, and hopefully they're in school. Aaron is a senior. He's going to be graduating and going to Votech next year for aviation mechanics. Carrie is a sophomore, and she likes to text and go on Facebook and babysit. Austin is in the orange. He's 13. He's in seventh grade. He likes football and basketball and playing video games and riding motorcycles. The little guy in the middle is Ronnie, and he is six. And I got a special story to tell you about Ronnie. I hope I don't cry. But back in 04, about half of you were in the house with me. We had that bill one day dealing with abortion. And it was long and protracted. And I don't even remember the bill exactly, but and I happened to have with me that day the ultrasound of Ronnie when he was 11 weeks old. And I'd like to thank our president for letting me use a prop that day, because I don't think I ever did. But Ronnie's now 6 and a half, isn't he? He's in first grade. He knows how to read. The other thing about him is that, well, while my wife was carrying him, my father died, and President Reagan died. So we named him Ronald Leon, after Ronald Reagan and Leon Pagalka. The little guy on the end on the left is Robert Paul. And he's our little live wire. He's the first one up in the morning and the last one to go to bed at night. He can beat his mom and I and his older brother at memory game. And he can do a 100-piece puzzle all by himself. So, thanks, guys.
Great to see you all again. The other announcement I would like to make is the... Did you have a personal privilege? I'm sorry.
Personal privilege, Mr.
Yes,
President.
Sir.
I'd just like to bring attention. I got my lovely girlfriend up here with me, Kelsey Kenzie. She's graduating from Boulder this spring, and she's going to go to law school at USD.
All right, Kelsey. Good. Any other personal privileges? Just for your planning today, then, after a session, for those that are interested on your way out of town, the Emergency Operations Center, as you were probably aware, was activated for our flood response. If you have not had the opportunity, or even if you have had the opportunity to tour the center, it's impressive, and especially for a number of you who are involved in the creation of that through the Law Enforcement Center itself, right after session, Christy Turman will be doing tours there if you're interested up at the Mickelson Law Enforcement Center. Any other announcements? All those in favor of recess signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are in recess. Ladies and gentlemen, the South Dakota Senate will now reconvene. Madam Secretary, messages from the House, please.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has passed House Bill 1146 over the veto of the governor. The veto message of the governor is found on page 712 of the House Journal. We hereby request your favorable consideration of House Bill 1146, the veto of the governor, notwithstanding. Respectfully, Karen Gerdes by Arlene Kvislin, Chief Clerk.
Senator Gray.
Mr. President, personal privilege?
Granted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, my honor today, my privilege today to say a few remarks and make a presentation. When I was a freshman senator, I ran for the E Board. That was in 2005. I served with you, Mr. President. And I was pretty naive, pretty wet behind the ears still, just getting to know the process. But I had a chance to serve on the E Board. Was elected by this body, my caucus, and that's where I first met Senator Hunoff. And you know, I got to tell you, that was 6 years ago, and we butted heads over an issue that first year over something pretty silly. It had to do with what day of the week we were going to meet as an e-board. Boy, she was tough back then too. Little did I know, 2 years later, she would be in the Senate, and she would be vice chair of executive board. 2 years after that, she'd be chairman of executive board. So my advice to you folks is, if you're on e-board or a committee, don't butt heads with Senator Hunoff or anybody else for that matter over something so silly. They may be running that committee at some point. Well, it's my honor, ladies and gentlemen, to present Senator Hunoff with a little token of our appreciation. She has served on executive board for 6 years. She has been chairman for the past 2 years. For those of you who don't know, and for those of you in the gallery, our executive board handles the business of the legislature when we're out of session. So when we adjourn today, sine die, the executive board is in charge. It's a committee of 15 people, 8 from the House and 7 from the Senate, and they run the business of the legislature until we get back here next year. Senator Hunoff has had has been chair during, one of the more difficult terms, I think. She's faced budget cuts, what I would call investment duress. We hear from the Investment Council quite frequently. Obviously, those numbers were down. Travel restrictions that we had to impose. And, probably the most challenging part about being chairman the last couple of years has been Gene Abdallah is on the committee as well.
Whoa.
Well, Mr. President, members of the body, with that, I want to present this to Gene Hunoff, who's been a dedicated public servant. She's been an outstanding leader for the executive board. But more than that, she has been, since I've known her, a team player and a good friend. Please join me in thanking her for her service. Thank you, Jeannie.
Senator Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, the success of the E-Board is not the chair or the vice chair. It is the people that serve on that executive board. And through the 6 years, I've had the blessed opportunity to work with some wonderful people. When Senator Gray was describing some of the situations that we had to deal with, it was the team that came together. And more importantly, it was those of you that elected all of us to that E-Board to represent you and to put your belief and confidence that we would carry out the workings during the interim of the legislative sessions. So I am very humbled by this, and I also am very just exuberated in the sense that I get to work with such a bunch of great people, and more importantly, your commitment to the people of South Dakota. So thank you, and Senator Gray, I'm glad you were able to meet on Mondays. You didn't tell the whole story on that. So again, thank you, and I am very humbled, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve with you in this body. Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll proceed to consideration reports of committees, please. I'm sorry, executive veto on that.
The Senate proceeds to the reconsideration of Senate Bill 57 pursuant to the veto of the governor and the veto message as found in the Journal of the 38th Legislative Day as provided in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
Are there any remarks? Good morning, Senator Peters.
Good morning. There we go. It works. Senate Bill 57, I would encourage you to vote no on this particular bill. We hogged the Senate Bill 86. It has the intent to this bill. It fixed the problem that the governor states in this particular veto, and the bill as intended has been passed. It's been signed by the governor in Senate Bill 86, so I would encourage us to vote no on the bill, kill the bill, and finally kill the bill and be done. So with that, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is, shall Senate Bill 57 pass, the veto of the governor notwithstanding? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Alstein? Bogalka?
No.
Bradford? Brown?
No.
Buell?
No.
Cutler?
No.
Burks?
No.
Frisley?
No.
Garnos?
No.
Gray?
No.
Hansen?
No.
Haverly?
No.
Heineman?
No.
Holleen?
No.
Unstead?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
Johnston?
No.
Kraus?
No.
Krebs?
No.
Lederman?
No.
Maher?
No.
Nelson?
No.
Nordstrup?
No.
Nygaard?
No.
Olson?
No.
Peters?
No.
Putnam?
No.
Rampelberg?
No.
Rave?
No.
Roden?
No.
Schleckaway?
No.
Sutton?
No.
Tiedemann?
No.
Thiessen?
No.
Valley? Senator Adelstein?
No.
Senator Bradford?
No.
Senator Schleckaway? Schleckaway? Senator Schleckaway? Mr. President, we have 34 nays, one excused.
So Senate Bill 57, not having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared lost.
The Senate proceeds with consideration of the recommendation of the Governor as to the change of style and form on Senate Bill 202, as found in the Senate Journal of the 38th Legislative Day, and as provided in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
Thank you, ma'am. Any remarks?
Mr. President.
Good morning, Senator Brown.
Mr. President, members of the body, I would encourage us to vote for the recommendations that the governor has placed before us with this particular bill in House Bill 202. This Workers' Compensation Advisory Council has existed for the past and presently exists in the form of 8 members, in addition to the lieutenant governor who serves as the chairperson. We as a body, the House concurring with that, passed a bill this year that allowed the governor to choose someone else as the chairperson other than the lieutenant governor. That's the thrust of what Senate Bill 202 does. This particular veto simply tries to clarify that that ninth member, whoever he appoints or advises, does not necessarily count against the other 8 members that presently exist. I think from a practical standpoint, certainly we would all agree that it makes much more sense to have an odd number of people on that particular council so that in the event of a tie, when votes are cast, you're able to split that. So I would encourage the body to vote with the recommendation of the governor to fix this bill via style and form and pass that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Adelstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would urge that we do not support the veto only because of the substance and the substantive nature of the veto. Style and form, to my mind, is not that we can change words that change meaning. It means that we can change words to add clarity and even American English. While I think I agree with the intent of the change, I do disagree with the process. We'll be back here, all of us, in less than 10 months, and we can make the correction at that time. I urge you to that you resist.
Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is, shall the recommendation of the governor as to the change of style and form in Senate Bill 202 be approved? Those in favor of that approval, vote aye. Those opposed, vote nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
No.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Aye.
Frerichs?
No.
Frisley?
Aye.
Karnos?
Aye.
Gray?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Hunstead?
No.
Hunhoff?
No.
Johnston?
Aye.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Sutton? Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Senator Sutton?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 30 ayes, 4 nays, 1 excused.
Question having received a majority vote of the members elect is hereby declared passed in the style and form. Do you need to recall that?
Yes, I do.
Yes, ma'am.
It recorded Senator Sutton as excused. So now we have 31 ayes and
Thank
4 nays.
31. Thank you. The question having received a majority vote of the senators elect is hereby declared passed, and the recommendation of the governor is so approved.
The Senate proceeds to the reconsideration of House Bill 1146 pursuant to the vote of the governor and the veto message as found in the House Journal of the 38th legislative day, provided for in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
Thank you. Are there any remarks? Senator Hansen.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. Well, we're back here again to talk about this issue that passed by a fairly handy margin a few weeks ago, and now I'm asking you to pass it by a little stronger margin. But, I don't want you to think of this as necessarily a turf battle or a scope of practice issue. I think that the field of chiropractic medicine has come a long way as far as being recognized and accepted by the public as a legitimate player in the healthcare field. But, you know, we do have this one little wrinkle that seems to be a bit of an unfairness issue. Let's see, is that said correctly? Okay. Anyway, you know, the issue before us has to do with the fact that it is allowable under current law to charge a higher copay if the patient chooses to use a chiropractor as opposed to visiting a medical doctor, or physical therapist, or some other person in the considered at the portal of entry in the healthcare field. And this bill simply asks to remove that bit of unfairness. And I think that I have a hard time getting my arms around the fact why it should be okay to ask for a higher copay for one patient relative to another. It seems like it's a bit of a disincentive for a patient to choose to go to a chiropractor. And granted, you know, the areas that each specialty can handle very adequately varies. But there are some issues where a chiropractor is a very logical person to go to. But with the difference in copay, that could be a disincentive for the patient to decide to go there. The one of the other things that has constantly been brought forward as far as the arguments is that this is a mandate. And I think I'm probably as critical of mandates as anyone because, you know, we just don't like the idea of telling insurance companies when they have to cover one particular disease or condition and not another. But the question that I think we have to ask is this really a mandate? This is more dealing with the area that affects the relationship between the insurance company and their customer. And things like payment of premium, you know, we don't argue with the fact that the all companies use a standard format for dealing with someone who doesn't pay their premium. How long do a grace period do they get? And to me, the regulation of copay is probably more in that area. One of the other arguments that I remember, you know, when the bill was brought forward in committee had to do with cost and the way that an insurance company may choose to justify the fact that they're charging a higher copay is that that they have determined that the cost is higher when the patient is seeking treatment from a chiropractor as compared to seeking treatment from some of the other areas of medicine. But, you know, there's a flip side to that because there are, you know, the argument in support of the chiropractic medicine is that there are instances where perhaps surgery can be avoided through chiropractic care as opposed to some of the other alternatives. And I think it's pretty easy to understand that if surgery is avoided, cost is also going to be reduced considerably. I guess that you have been lobbied fairly heavily, both the last 2 weeks that you've been since we left here, plus probably this morning you've had an opportunity to visit with one or more people. And so I don't think there's probably a whole lot more that I can say that will add to the debate. But my request is just please vote yes. Thank you.
Further remarks, Senator Gray.
Mr. President, thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen of the body, well, it's not easy to stand before you today, to stand before this gallery of good people, good chiropractors. Some might consider my friends, or maybe after this they'll consider me a former friend. I hope not. It's not easy being up here today to give this speech, but it's really the same speech I gave a month ago. So it's out there already. Many of you already know where I'm at on this issue. I'm not here to say or to argue that against chiropractic care. I've had that care before, and it's been good for me. It's been good for family members of mine. It's not the argument today. And I'm not saying it's okay or not to have higher copays. But what I'm arguing today is that I don't think this is necessarily our job to be regulating rates and to be regulating what agreements insurance companies make with their customers and with their providers. Many of you heard me say a month ago, and I'll share with you again today, I'm a small business owner. And so I have the ability every year, and I just got my renewals the past 2 weeks. They actually went down for the first time in 4 years. The reality is, as a business owner, I can go down the street and I can look at Wellmark, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. I can look at Dakota Care. I can look at Avera. I can look at Sanford. There's probably others I'm missing out there. But I have a choice of the company I go to first. Secondly, once I choose that company, I have literally 2 pages, maybe 3 pages of different plans I can choose as an employer. I can choose something with a low copay. I can choose something with a high copay. I can choose something without a copay. I can choose a high deductible plan. I can choose a number of different deductibles and copays. So my point of this is that for employees and for the clients of these chiropractors here today, their beef really is with their employer, certainly with their insurance company. But they ought to go to their insurance company and they ought to go to their employer. My employees came to me and said, geez, you're not being fair here. We would take a look at what our plan looked like. I think the second issue is that I think really the providers need to get with the insurance companies. And I know that's difficult. I've been on a hospital compliance and finance committee before and talked about this very thing, dealing with insurance companies. Not always easy. I understand that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it's our job here today to be legislating rates and to be legislating copays. I look at this somewhat similar to the Public Utilities Commission. If that's the way we want to go with health insurance, let's set up an insurance commission, a health insurance commission, that these insurance companies will have to go get rate approval every time they want to raise rates. I don't think that's where we want to go. I don't think that's where this body wants to go. So I would urge you today to defeat this bill and let the free market work. Thank you.
Further remarks, Mr. President. Senator Nygaard, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning to you, sir. Honorable members of the body, you know, it's been alleged that expenses would increase for health care if we allow this bill to pass. And yet, Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Dakota has a study of 58,000 employees in South Dakota demonstrating not only better patient satisfaction, but substantial decreased costs and a decrease in loss of time off with chiropractic care. We're facing a national and a state emergency with rising health care costs. Just last year, my Blue Cross Blue Shield health care costs for 43 employees in my small business went up over 30%. Was it because I had more or had any claims? The answer is no. It went up because they could. There was no mandate. They just did it. This bill has to do with essential benefits. And as we move further down the road with the Health Care Reform Act, that definition is going to become critical. You're not referred to a chiropractor. You can access that chiropractor just as you do a general practitioner. It's much less expensive. So why would we ever have a $50 copay for a $35 visit? This is just a little bit ridiculous, and I urge you to override this veto.
Further remarks, Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of the bill. You know, as a small business owner, I've spent a lot of time looking at different insurance coverages for my employees. And I tell you, in South Dakota, we face a juggernaut in the form of insurance companies. And it's very difficult to make any kind of progress on mitigating some of the coverages that they provide and certainly the copays. And Senator Gray is absolutely right. You have a plethora of choices that you can make. The problem is the subset of each of those choices, there's a lot of mischief that goes on in the fine print. And I believe that as we look at the fine print, it's very difficult for small businesses in South Dakota to make any kind of an impact upon the insurance companies. I believe that there is a need for leadership to address this issue. Second point, over the years, I've come to understand the primary care that is provided people through a chiropractor that I didn't understand in the past. I've also come to understand the many things that they treat that we don't know about because they don't do a very good job of telling us about it. And I really think that people that go to a chiropractor get excellent medical care in a form that is not understood very well. Another point is that chiropractors, in my opinion, have suffered as kind of being a red-headed stepchild in the area of medical providers. And I think there's a lot of, I hate to use the word arrogance, but I think other medical providers think less of chiropractors and for no good reason. And I think that this bill that we are looking at today addresses many of these issues that will help this particular medical provider enjoy the kind of position that it should as it relates to being paid for what they do. And I urge your support of the bill.
Further remarks. Senator Hunoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, you know, we have spent this past session certainly focusing on health care costs and what kind of opportunities were out there to assure that our South Dakota citizens have the best that is available. When we're addressing this bill and we're talking about choice and its payers, in committee, we heard there are payers in this state that do pay differently, that pay, that allow the co-payments the same as a family practitioner, that do have higher. So the current system is providing for that. It goes back to the employer to decide which of those choices they want to make and what they want to have for their employees. To me, this bill is not about the provider type. It's just about making it so that employers have some choices that are out there. And when you look at that, I look at my own plan, and in the plan that I have, I checked it out yesterday, their copay is less than what my copay is for a family practitioner, and it has certainly a number of visits that I can have. So in that sense, that's much better than what I have if I want to go see a family practitioner. So I think it's there, and I think we need to leave it there that the payors negotiate with those and provide that. We hear in anything that competition is good. And you can look at other avenues of healthcare that we looked at. We have the development of specialty hospitals as a comparison, as a choice that people can have than from your traditional hospital settings. So I think that was promoted, and that was a positive outcome in the sense there were some choices. That's what we're trying to do here. But if we mandate, then let me say, who is next to come to us to say, you know, this provider is not getting, and I think they should be there. So we should require the insurance companies. And I would go back to what my colleague from Peerhead to say, then maybe we need to look at some type of regulatory agency out there that is getting into this business. But for a group of people in a legislature that hear all the sides of the story, we're not sure if all the implications are out there, are we right to make that decision, or do we leave it to the market to allow it? It's currently happening. I, as a small business owner, I can go and select that program that has the lowest copay for the chiropractic services and do it. That choice comes to me. If I choose to have a higher one and I want my employees want it, then I'm free to do that. But let's not tie the hands of those individuals. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Bogalka.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to rise in support of this bill, and I'm going to cut right to the chase. I think the biggest problem right here in South Dakota that we have today is that we have four big players in the health insurance market. They're all owned by the medical profession. Dakota Care by Medical Association, Sanford, Avera, we recognize those names. Blue Cross, Blue Shield, again owned by the traditional medical establishment and the drug companies. But what if the shoe was on the other foot? What if we had a large insurance company that started in South Dakota owned by, say, chiropractors, and it became popular because their copay for chiropractic was $15. The copay to doctors' hospitals was $100. Would the doctors like that? I think if that were to happen, instead of our gallery full of chiropractors today, it may be full of MDs. And not only is it just on the copays, I've been reading these emails, I've been getting all the information I could because I wanted to make an intelligent, informed decision on this and not just vote on this because I voted for it the first time. What are some other things that are happening? I read a Blue Cross Blue Shield patient had a $300 yearly limit for chiropractic care. $300 a year. How far would that have gone in the hospital? Was there a similar limit on MDs? How many MRIs, how many drugs could be bought with $300? Sanford allows a $35.62 for a chiropractic visit, and I think that's good. They have a limit. They have a ceiling on everything. That's good. It helps keep costs down. But a lot of guys that go to chiropractors have a $35 copay. They pay $35. Guess how much the chiropractor gets from Sanford? A check for 62 cents. The chiropractor in my small town recently found out that one of the largest employees in our area, over 100 people, and that's big for Clear Lake, gave all their employees the plan of a $50 copay for chiropractic care. He charges $40. I warn you, don't be penny wise and pound foolish. If we're worried about premiums rising, we need to look at the other side of the equation. If people don't go to the lower priced and don't give them a fair opportunity, this may cost us more in the long run. If I'm an employee, I may not have that choice of a policy. I have what my employer gives me. And like Senator Rampelberg said, the devil's in the details. How do we know, and how do we each have that choice? So I ask you, please think about this, and please join me in joining the House in overriding this veto and passing this bill. Thank you.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. I will be brief. I'll just explain to you the tipping point on this bill for me last month was simply a fairness issue. No insurance company or hospital or doctor, regardless of the initials after his name, is going to get rich or go broke over this bill, but I think that it truly will help those that need it most, and that is the patients. So I would ask you to join with me, and let's go ahead and pass this bill. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Holdeen.
Thank you, Mr. President. To start off, I'd like to thank the sponsors of this bill for bringing this forward. I think that this issue is one that definitely needs to be looked at. I'm glad that we have had this discussion this year on this issue, and I think that there is absolutely some unfairness going on with the defining of chiropractic care as some level of specialist, or at least forcing the payment on that. With that said, I am opposed to this bill for several reasons, number one of which is just on philosophy. I'm against federally mandated health care. I'm against anybody in Washington telling me what I can and cannot do with my health care, with my business, and things like that. So I do not think that I personally can be opposed to politicians in Washington telling me what I can and cannot do, but I'm okay with politicians in Pierre doing the same thing. So I'm not going to draw that line, or rather I'll just be philosophically consistent on that. I will relate one conversation I had last week. I talked with several chiropractors last week. I also talked with representatives from three of the four large healthcare providers or insurance companies in South Dakota. Found out that one of them actually offers a plan to businesses that charges chiropractors less than general practitioner copays. I definitely don't see anybody saying that we have to pass a law that rises that copay for chiropractors up to the accepted rate. So that's just a plan of that insurance company is offering as a free market way to possibly attract more business, possibly attract a different business, and things like that. My esteemed colleague from Clay and Turner County referenced a study that chiropractic care can actually reduce costs to businesses. That may be possible. That may be true. What I would suggest doing is having everyone who lobbied us politicians go and lobby businesses. I've been involved in business. I still am involved in business. If someone came to me and proved that it could reduce my costs, I would jump in a second. Because that's what it's all about, is staying in business. I talked with one company in Watertown, their HR director, who said to me that they actually did switch their insurance plan a few years ago to, actually, they are one of the evil companies now that charge chiropractic care at a higher rate. They did it to save money. She said to me that while this might not have been the tipping point between going bankrupt or not, they had an option to save money on their health plan insurance company or their health plan insurance to their employees. They took it. They stayed in the black. They stayed in business. That business is now growing in Watertown, and I think that we really have to be cognizant of the impact that this may have on the options that we are giving businesses in South Dakota on how they can run their business. This is government telling business how to do their business. Don't look at this as an insurance company versus chiropractic care bill. That's not what it's about. Granted, some of the definitions may be the arguments, but the repercussions are going to be felt by businesses and their bottom line. And I think at this time, when we've been doing whatever we can to increase the flexibility for all cash-strapped institutions in South Dakota, we cannot forget the cash-strapped institution that makes all of this state run, and that is businesses, that is the wage payers. If they think that they can save money doing this, let them have it. If it can be proved to them that they can save money by switching, I guarantee you every company will switch. And that's the bottom line for me. I will say that there is also going to be some unintended consequences to this bill. Just the nature of chiropractic care, the average patient for chiropractic care goes in 10 times a year. I'm not saying that's bad or good. In fact, it's probably necessary because that's the nature of the care that they provide for back pain. It's very very debilitating. However, if you go in 10 times, does that start classifying as a therapy issue? And next year, are we going to have another debate upon the definition of what is therapy? Are we going to have to institute a similar law for occupational therapists? And occupational therapists are charged at a much higher rate. They are charged as specialists. Their costs are very high compared to chiropractic care. And, you know, justifiably or not justifiably so. But I'm saying we definitely open that can of worms that we're going to have to address next year. In the end, I am definitely no opponent of chiropractors. I actually think that they have a very good argument. I'm glad this bill was brought up. I just don't think that having government step in and wield a big club and forcing people what we can and cannot do is the way to go about it. So I would respectfully ask for your nay vote on this bill. Thank you.
Further remarks, does anybody wish to speak before Senator Hansen speaks a second time? Hearing none, Senator Hansen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. I thank you for, this has been a good debate, and just one last comment that I would like to offer, that I think that sometimes we're beginning to make the bill say a little bit more than what it really says. And all it says is that an insurance company may not discriminate by charging a copay different for one practitioner as compared to another. It does not set copays. That's all it says. So, be cautious in what you read into it, and just remember that it just says that the insurance company may not discriminate one against the other. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is, shall House Bill 1146 pass, the veto of the governor notwithstanding? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Adelstein?
Aye.
Bogalka?
Aye.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Cutler?
Frerichs?
Aye. Frisley?
No.
Garnos?
No.
Gray?
No.
Hansen?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heineman?
No.
Olean?
No.
Hunstead?
Aye.
Hunhoff? Johnston?
No.
Kraus?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Norstrup? Nygaard?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Putnam?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Shekaway?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Valley?
No.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 25 ayes, 10 nays.
The question, shall 1146 pass, the veto of the governor notwithstanding, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're still in session. Please, as you depart, thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator Olson.
Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the body. Everything that we do out here, I think, goes back to the base root of what we do for South Dakota's future. And in front of us, we have just that, and that's our pages. And they don't have to come back for today. And those of our greatest members of our population are back today, seeing the final day, which is just as important as the first day. And so on behalf of my fellow senators, I'd like to thank the pages that came back today to help us with their work.
I'm sorry, Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. President. Personal privilege.
Granted, sir.
You bet. I appreciate the effort the Majority Leader offered in extending his thanks and gratitude to our pages. I echo that those comments. And I also like to say, you know, I came out to Pier to get away from the snow. Here it is. I can't take credit for bringing it here, but I sure hope that it stays here. And thank you, Mr. President. Hopefully I have a safe drive back.
You want to do reports? I'm sorry, Senator Valley.
I just want to compliment the page that wore a bow tie today. I think that's really nice. Thank you. I don't like feeling alone, so thank you.
Reports of select committee. Senator Roden.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I was just going to say she looked very nice in that tie.
Madam Secretary.
Senator Olson moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to informing His Excellency the Governor, as found in the Journal of the 38th Legislative, Senator Olson moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to informing His Excellency the Governor that the legislature has completed its labors and is ready to adjourn sine die, as found in the Senate Journal of the 38th Legislative Day, be adopted.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Senator Olson moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to fixing the time of adjournment sine die, as found in the sine die of the 86th Legislative Session, as found in the Senate Journal of the 38th Legislative Day, be adopted.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Senators will be at ease, obviously, for communications and awaiting and enrollment and engrossment of a couple of those bills, and then we'll get on with sine die. Thank you.
Senate Bills 86, 140, 149, 200, and Senate Bill 33, and the same have been deposited in the Office of the Secretary of State. Respectfully submitted, Dennis Dugard, Governor.
Reports of standing committees, please.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the House and Senate have, pursuant to the Governor's veto of Senate Bill 57, sustained that veto and delivered the same to His Excellency the Secretary of State for filing at 12:41 p.m., March 28, 2011. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee for the purpose of informing His Excellency the Governor that the legislature has completed its labors and is ready to adjourn sine die and to ascertain if he has any further communications to make to the legislature. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee for the purpose of fixing the time of adjournment sine die for the 86th Legislative Session. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has not approved Senate Bill 202, as recommended by the Governor, pursuant to Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota, as for changes to style and form. The vote was yeas 32, nays 34. Respectfully, Karen Gertis by Arlene Kvislin, Chief Clerk.
Senator Peters.
Personal privilege, Mr.
Granted,
President.
Granted, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, for those of you who don't know, it is one of our members' birthdays today. And, Mr. President, if you wouldn't mind, we would like to sing happy birthday to this member. Senator Cutler, happy birthday.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Doesn't that sound good? Yeah, it's Joni's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Senator Cutler, personal privilege, you are looking marvelous today.
$370.
Well, I promise there's no bill being, there's no billable hour here, Senator. I wanted to thank you all. That was so very nice. And so many of you have wished me a happy birthday. I actually have something to share with you about the happy birthday song. And I intended to send this to my daughters because they called and left me a voicemail today in which they sang happy birthday to me. So did you know that what you just sang is the most recognized song for all of us in America? It is a melody that came from a tune called Good Morning to All that was written by two sisters, one who was a kindergarten principal and her sister who was a composer. The words were first appeared in print and were recorded in 1912. And they were written into the tune with the words of Good Morning to All. It was supposed to be an easy song that could be sung by young children. So that's no comment on the Senate. But thank you all very much. You've made a very special day for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Rabe, you wanted to remind people about if they wanted to tour the EOC. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. All the members that are left are all seven of us. We're supposed to go up and tour the EOC. They're going to open it up so you can go in and see the facility and how they're going to manage the flooding and then, of course, any other future disaster. So I believe that's opened up right after we're done here. So if you want to please go up there, they would appreciate it. Thanks.
We're waiting for the packet of transmittals, and Trudy's going to bring that. So,
okay, it's called Report of Standing Committees.
Reports of Standing Committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the House and Senate have, pursuant to the recommendation of the government, Governor, as to corrections in style and form of Senate Bill 202, not approved the recommendation and has returned the same to His Excellency the Governor at 1:02 p.m. March 28, 2011. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Okay, we just need to pray. Okay, closing prayer. If you all recognize the presence of our higher being. This is offered by Reverend Mercy Hobbs. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have given us during the 2011 legislative session, giving us the ability to work hard, providing us with the perseverance to attend sessions, meetings with our colleagues and constituents, giving us the wisdom and desire to seek what your will is to best serve the people we represent. We pray that all we have done has been for the honor and glory of you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, Madam Secretary.
Senator Olson moves that the Senate do now adjourn. Signed, he die.
Is there a second? All those in favor of adjournment, signed, he die, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Nay. One, two, three. We are adjourned. Sine die. Congratulations.
Thank you, Speaker.